keep it here. And I really have to admit that I've never done it before. I'm sure you'll have to excuse me if I make many mistakes, but I can tell you the story that is quite still quite vivid in my mind. As you know, we've just passed the 70th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. But let me please say one few sentences to you, and that is give a tribute to my father, because I wouldn't be here if it hadn't been for his bravery. We had taken a very beautiful trip up the Hudson River. I should say the one in Cairo. Nias. And we'd been to the Holy Land, which was a very great interest to my father, who came back for the way of the southern France and went right up through the country of France and boarded the ship at Cherbourg. The ship sailed from Southampton, and as you know, it was supposed to be an unsinkable boat, and everybody believed it. There were very distinguished people on that ship, such as John Jacob Astor, Mr. and Mrs. Guggenheim of New York, and Mr. and Mrs. Strauss of New York. I remember personally of seeing John Jacob Astor throwing them off, but the others I don't remember very much. And of course there'll be a lot that I cannot remember, but I'll remember the things that are most vivid, and I'll tell you about the things most vivid in my mind. We started out and went a few days on the sea. And that, after 2 days, the fog settled in. And people were very much concerned about it. They realized that we were almost surrounded with icebergs. But the captain, Smith, an Englishman, wanted to make the record and get through there in a very short period of time, which no other boat had ever succeeded in doing. So we sat, as I say, after a beautiful, sumptuous dinner, after looking about in the beautiful rooms, one after the other, very beautifully furnished, distinguished people, beautifully dressed, we sat there and said, I remember the last thing my father said to me, in fact, do you think you'll last until morning after such a tremendous meal, as you might say? Well, he was a very brave man, and he was always doing the duty. And anything that was to be done quickly was done by my father, Mr. Newell. My sister and I, who I was with beside my father, went to our cabins, and about 1 o'clock, we felt this terrific jar, this terrific noise. What could it be? Here we were in this beautiful ship, never imagining we were in such terrible danger. Almost immediately, my father tapped at that door. He said, get up quickly. Don't take anything with you, but put on warm clothing. So we obeyed him, as we were told to do in those days, obey your father and mother, and went upstairs, up to the upper deck, which was then, well, you might say almost empty, because most people were still asleep, resting in their cabins. Already, there was one boat that had been lowered. And already, by the time we got up there, this tremendous, great, big, unsinkable Titanic was listing on one side. So the second boat was about to be filled, and I was to be in the second boat with my sister. It was filled rather readily, all women, of course, people perhaps about middle age and a bit older. The last thing I remember my father saying to me, it seems more dangerous for you to get into that boat. I hate to see you than to stay here on the Titanic. We got in and lowered the boat into the water, which is, as you know, the deck boats are very high up on the ship. They're very high up, at the very top. And it was frightful scenes. Look way down at the bottom, people were going to be lowered there. Most people in that boat were women, as I say, of middle age and older. They were so stunned that they couldn't talk, they couldn't say anything, they couldn't move. So it was up to me, the only younger person there at that time, and I have to say I was 23 at that time, to take hold of the oars and help the oarsman, just one man, to row that boat, which I did. I'd never rowed a boat before in my life. It was quite a challenge, as you might say, for me to do. But we were lowered, and immediately we were told the one thing to do is to get away from the ship as fast as we can. So that we rowed, and we were quite a distance off, and of course in the meantime, lights were growing dim because we were far away from the Titanic. And at last we were said, well, this is perhaps the safest place to be. We've gone far enough. So in case of danger, we couldn't believe that the ship would really sink. We wouldn't be sucked down in any way. So we walked, sort of stopping and coming to a little bit, as you might say. And occasionally we would see the, in the far distance, we'd see the light of another ship. Because at that time, by the time we had gotten out to some distance, I'll perhaps say 1 mile, 2 miles, I never could tell just how far away we were. There'd be an occasional ship come along, and we'd say, oh, there comes the ship, and maybe they'll come to our rescue and help us. They didn't dare to get near the Titanic. There were people, a few people, some of them struggling in the water. There were a few boats, such as we were, being rowed here and there. Nobody talking. Cold and very cold. And there we stayed, I will say, until dawn came. Occasionally, rockets would go out of the Titanic, try to make people see them as they try to make the other ships see them in case they were passing. But no, nobody dared to come near us. And then the terrible moment came. The ship sank. I'll never forget, even it was so vivid in my ears and in my sister's ears, the noise, the terrible noise it knew when it really went down with all the water. And here we were at a distance. Couldn't do a thing. Dawn came, and when it did, we realized how almost surrounded we were with icebergs. But that captain had to make the record, even though he many people lost their lives. And I learned only last winter that it wasn't only the captain's fault. The owner of the White Star Line was on that boat. And he said, go ahead, get into New York as fast as you can, so that you can meet the record. That I don't know for sure. I know that Captain Smith was on the boat. So dawn came, and everything was very quiet. The ship had gone. It was a lovely morning. But where were we? Should we go? But that Carpathia, in the middle of the night, came along, and that was the boat that saved us. It stood by. So we rowed to the Carpathia. All and my sister and I, thinking of course we'd see our father, because we didn't realize the terrible disaster, the people that had lost their lives. And I remember it was almost like a funeral as we came up the side of the ship and the steps to come and not see your father. And almost no man at all. And if there was a man, he was in disgrace. We came up, and of course we didn't see a father. The ship was loaded because it was on the way to London, heavily filled with tourists. People had to sleep on the floor where everything, well, it didn't make any difference where they were sleeping after that terrible disaster. We were speechless, nobody talked. I can't remember very much. I don't think we were there more than 2 days. And I don't really remember about the meals. I don't remember particularly talking with people. I can't remember anything about that. But in some way, a very close friend of my father's, named Mr. Milne, came from my former town where I lived in Lexington, and he realized that the ship had been going down, and first of all these lists of people, as I showed, as you will see in that picture, the people that were lost or not lost, the people that were on the Titanic, so forth. And he knew that we were there, so he got a little roll out from the New York, and in some way, I was able to get into that. I don't remember that part of it very well, how I got from the Carpathia into the sailboat. And he wrote us into the ship, maybe it was a steamship, I don't know what it was, but we got into the port of New York. and my mother and another sister were waiting for us. For 3 days, should the agony was something terrible for her, my mother. Because every day in the newspapers, there would come, this person has been saved, and that person has been saved, this person hasn't been saved. It always contradicted the list the day before. So she would see that my father had been saved, and the next day it was not saved. So as she was staying with my other sister at the Old Manhattan in New York, that's where the station is now, the 42nd Street Station. And she was hoped, against hope, as you might say, to greet her father, her husband, and her two daughters. I remember her particularly as we came into the hall where she was staying in the hotel. Her arms were outstretched, ready to just embrace us, three of us. And I also remember the tone, the agonizing tone of despair when she saw only my sister and myself, and she knew she lost her husband. The next day we hurried through away from New York, got into Lexington, where our home was, and there was many kilometers, of course, terrible collapse, oh, it was awful. And we never spoke in our family of that Titanic. From that time until very recently, we never mentioned the word Titanic. She had to, my mother had to do a lot of business after we got home, but it was never talked about. We were in mourning for 3 months, and my mother, who was that 56 years old and lived to be 103, never removed her very deep mourning all that period of time until she died when she was 103 years old. Well, we had a beautiful service for my father, and he was buried in the Mount Auburn Cemetery in Cambridge. But after that, about 3 weeks after that, someone was notified my mother that his body had been washed up on the shores of Newfoundland. So she immediately sent someone to identify him, someone who knew him in Lexington, and brought the body back again. It was the most miraculous thing I can imagine. I have never heard of anybody being brought, even not alive, but I mean brought ashore from the Titanic. I don't know if anybody else could do more, but I never heard of it. We identified him by his little diary that he kept in Egypt. He'd written a daily diary. And also by his he had a ring. In those days, you know, many more with diamonds and ring. He had that ring on. And he had his watch, and the kind of a watch that just snapped on top of his back. Mother slept with that, you know, under a pillow every single night of the several days. And the ring is now worn by one of my grandmothers. So he was buried. He's buried in Cambridge, in the Mount Auburn Cemetery. Well, that was the end of my story. That's all I know about Titanic. But let me just finish it with just a few words. In the 1960s, I did a good deal of traveling. And I went to Europe almost every year for about 10 years. Always, usually starting in by myself, and then always going to England and enjoying England very much. One time I went there to see the beautiful cathedral at Lichfield. It's noted for its beautiful carving. We went in a bus, and I went to the courier, and I said, I know that I'm going to go through the town where Captain Smith lived, and may I see the statue? With tears in his eyes, he said, I have been waiting to talk to somebody, because he was an Englishman, who was on that ship in Egypt. And so I was brought to the town hall and signed my name in an important book, and so forth. And then I went to the cathedral, see it. I have always been very fond of music, and perhaps my most interesting or most inspiring instrument is the organ. And so I entered this great, tremendous cathedral, perhaps some of you have been able to hear it, it's most impressive. And just as I entered it, I heard the organ. It seemed to just burst forth with the magnificent playing in the back of the church. It seemed almost being played for me. And I walked down the aisle of this tremendous cathedral alone, And I, it came over me, what can this, what meaning has this, what meaning is this for me? It was, to my mind, almost like, as you might imagine, like an ascension, if you believe in ascension and all that sort of thing. And I said, here am I all alone, experiencing the most inspiring music I could possibly be, in the town where the Smith was at the time. And I think more now, perhaps, than I've ever thought of my father. So I walked down the aisle, almost with tears in my eyes alone. I said, this is the end of the tragedy in my life. To close this great, terrible experience, and yet close it in a magnificent way. So in closing my little talk to you, I say one little sentence, which seems to have a great deal of meaning to me, and I think for you. The efforts of men are without power, but the power of nature is magnificent and everlasting. I think you can think of that when you think of the buildings that are made there. They are absolutely proof against hurricanes or proof against fire. They're destroyed. If such a calamity comes. So the efforts of man are powerless compared to the powers of nature. And thank you very much.
And I think we're all privileged to hear this, this lady. We'll never hear anything like it again, I don't believe. Thank you very much. Stay with us, Jeffers. I'm going to take you home anyway. I'm going to take you home anyway. Yes, I do. Well, then, do you want this passed around? Do you want to come?
Do you have any questions? I'm glad to answer if I can. I have one question.
Dorothy has
a question about you. Mrs. Robb, is your sister older or younger than you?
She was older. I was younger. My sister was older.
We were never allowed, nor did I tell you, we didn't. I don't think we were allowed. We never spoke of Italian for about 56, many years ago. She had to conduct some meetings first, aside from that. It's only recently that I myself talked to people about it, because all the members of my family, my own immediate family, have died. And this is another world. And if anybody wants to hear about this very sad story, I'm looking to talk about it. But up to this time, we never spoke.
Would you want to describe the sound of the ship going down?
I can't describe it. I know my sister said it was in her ears all her life. The terrible noise. I suppose it was the combination of, I might say, screaming people and water. It was just a terrible, terrible sound.
And the Titanic hit an iceberg. Is that why it went down?
Yeah. Well, that's a false impression.
That's what brought it down.
Yes.